Sri Aurobindo, the synthesis of yoga. Continuing in part two, the yoga of integral knowledge, and chapter 11, the modes of the self, beginning again in the middle of page 378. The self, even the individual self, is different from our personality as it is different from our mental ego sense. Our personality is never the same. It is a constant mutation and various combination. It is not a basic consciousness, but a development of forms of consciousness. Not a power of being, but a various play of partial powers of being. Not the enjoyer of the self-delight of our existence, but a seeking after various notes and tones of experience, which shall, more or less, render that delight in the mutability of relations. This also is Purusha and Brahman, but it is the mutable Purusha, the phenomenon of the eternal, not its stable reality. The Gita makes a distinction between three Purushas, who constitute the whole state and action of the divine being, the mutable, the immutable, and the highest, which is beyond and embraces the other two. That highest is the Lord in whom we have to live, the supreme self in us and in all. The immutable is the silent, actionless, equal, unchanging self which we reach when we draw back from activity to passivity, from the play of consciousness and force, and the seeking of delight to the pure and constant basis of consciousness and force and delight through which the highest, free, secure, and unattached, possesses and enjoys the play. The mutable is the substance and immediate motive of that changing flux of personality through which the relations of our cosmic life are made possible. The mental being, fixed in the mutable, moves in its flux and has not possession of an eternal peace and power and self-delight. The soul, fixed in the immutable, holds all these in itself, but cannot act in the world. But the soul that can live in the highest enjoys the eternal peace and power and delight and wideness of being, is not bound in its self-knowledge and self-power by character and personality or by forms of its force and habits of its consciousness, and yet uses them all with a large freedom and power for the self-expression of the divine in the world. Here again, the change is not any alteration of the essential modes of the self, but consists in our emergence into the freedom of the highest and the right use of the divine law of our being. Connected with this triple mode of the self is that distinction which Indian philosophy has drawn between the qualitied and the qualityless Brahman, and European thought has made between the personal and the impersonal God. The Upanishad indicates clearly enough the relative nature of this opposition when it speaks of the Supreme as the qualitied who is without qualities, Nirguno Guni. We have again two essential modes, two fundamental aspects, two poles of eternal being, both of them exceeded in the transcendent divine reality. They correspond practically to the silent and the active Brahman. For the whole action of the universe may be regarded, from a certain point of view, as the expression and shaping out, in various ways, of the numberless and infinite qualities of the Brahman. His being assumes, by conscious will, all kinds of properties, shapings of the stuff of conscious being, habits, as it were, of cosmic character and power of dynamic self-consciousness, gunas, into which all cosmic action can be resolved. But by none of these, nor by all of them, nor by their utmost infinite potentiality, is he bound. He is above all his qualities, and on a certain plane of being rests free from them. The nirguna, or unqualitied, is not incapable of qualities. Rather, it is this very nirguna, or no quality, who manifests himself as saguna, as anantaguna, infinite quality, since he contains all in his absolute capacity of boundlessly varied self-revelation. He is free from them in the sense of exceeding them. And indeed, if he were not free from them, they could not be infinite. God would be subject to his qualities, bound by his nature. Prakriti would be supreme, and Purusha its creation and plaything. The Eternal is bound neither by quality nor absence of quality, neither by personality nor by impersonality. He is himself, beyond all our positive and all our negative definition. But if we cannot define the Eternal, we can unify ourselves with it. It has been said that we can become the impersonal, but not the personal God. But this is only true in the sense that no one can become individually the Lord of all the universes. We can free ourselves into the existence of the active Brahman, as well as that of the silence. We can live in both, go back to our being in both, but each in its proper way. By becoming one with the nirguna in our essence, and one with the saguna in the liberty of our active being, in our nature. Sadharmya Mukti. The Supreme pours himself out of an eternal peace, poise, and silence into an eternal activity, free and infinite, freely fixing for itself its self-determinations, using infinite quality to shape out of it varied combination of quality. We have to go back to that peace, poise, and silence, and act out of it with the divine freedom from the bondage of qualities, but still using qualities, even the most opposite, largely and flexibly, for the divine work in the world. Only while the Lord acts out of the center of all things, we have to act by transmission of his will and power and self-knowledge through the individual center, the soul form of him, which we are. The Lord is subject to nothing. The individual soul form is subject to its own highest self. And the greater and more absolute is that subjection, the greater becomes its sense of absolute force and freedom. The distinction between the personal and the impersonal is substantially the same as the Indian distinction. But the associations of the English words carry within them a certain limitation, which is foreign to Indian thought. The personal God of the European religions is a person in the human sense of the word, limited by his qualities, though otherwise possessed of omnipotence and omniscience. It answers to the Indian special conceptions of Shiva, or Vishnu, or Brahma, or of the Divine Mother of all, Durga, or Kali. Each religion really erects a different personal deity according to its own heart and thought to adore and serve. The fierce and inexorable God of Calvin is a different being from the sweet and loving God of St. Francis. As the gracious Vishnu is different from the terrible, though always loving and beneficent Kali, who has pity even in her slaying and saves by her destructions. Shiva, the god of ascetic renunciation, who destroys all things, seems to be a different being from Vishnu and Brahma, who act by grace, love, preservation of the creature, or for life and creation. It is obvious that such conceptions can be only in a very partial and relative sense true descriptions of the infinite and omnipresent creator and ruler of the universe. Nor does Indian religious thought affirm them as adequate descriptions. The personal God is not limited by his qualities. He is Anantaguna, capable of infinite qualities and beyond them, and Lord of them, to use them as he will, and he manifests himself in various names and forms of his infinite Godhead to satisfy the desire and need of the individual soul according to its own nature and personality. It is for this reason that the normal European mind finds it so difficult to understand Indian religion as distinct from Vedantic or Sankhya philosophy, because it cannot easily conceive of a personal God with infinite qualities, a personal God who is not a person, but the sole real person and the source of all personality. Yet, that is the only valid and complete truth of the divine personality. The place of the divine personality in our synthesis will best be considered when we come to speak of the yoga of devotion. It is enough here to indicate that it has its place and keeps it in the integral yoga even when liberation has been attained. There are practically three grades of the approach to the personal deity. The first, in which he is conceived with a particular form or particular qualities as the name and form of the Godhead which our nature and personality prefers. The first, in which he is conceived with a particular form or particular qualities as the name and form of the Godhead which our nature and personality prefers. Ishta Devata. A second, in which he is the one real person, the all personality, the Anantaguna. A third, in which we get back to the ultimate source of all idea and fact of personality, in that which the Upanishad indicates by the single word he, without fixing any attribute. It is there that our realizations of the personal and the impersonal divine meet and become one in the utter Godhead. For the impersonal divine is not ultimately an abstraction or a mere principle or a mere state or power and degree of being any more than we ourselves are really such abstraction. The intellect first approaches it through conceptions, but realization ends by exceeding them. Through the realization of higher and higher principles of being and states of conscious existence, we arrive not at the annihilation of all in a sort of positive zero, or even an inexpressible state of existence, but at the transcendent existence itself, which is also the existent who transcends all definition by personality, and yet is always that which is the essence of personality. When in that we live and have our being, we can possess it in both its modes. The impersonal in a supreme state of being and consciousness, in an infinite impersonality of self-possessing power and bliss, the personal by the divine nature acting through the individual soul form, and by the relation between that and its transcendent and universal self. We may keep even our relation with the personal deity in his forms and name. If, for instance, our work is predominantly a work of love, it is as the Lord of love that we can seek to serve and express him. But we shall have at the same time an integral realization of him in all his names and forms and qualities, and not mistake the front of him, which is prominent in our attitude to the world, for all the infinite Godhead. End of chapter 12, The Modes of the Self. Bottom of page 382.